The St. Paul City Council Org Committee meeting will come to order. So welcome. I hope people are comfortable. I heard earlier this morning this room was absolutely freezing, but it feels like the temperature is, I can feel like cool spots and warm spots, like you're in the ocean or something. So hopefully it'll level out here in a little bit. We have done some shifting around with our Org Committee schedule just to accommodate all the information that we need as we head into budget, which is now our final budget will be solidified in 4 weeks. And so today we invited the Office of Technology and Communications to come and speak with us about some public safety data that they have been analyzing to think will be helpful for us as we move ahead with our final budget. So I'm going to very quickly turn things over to Derek Engelking, Jovan Knutson, Drew Nelson from OTC to share the analysis that they've put together. We typically ask questions as we go, if that's okay with you. So just kind of keep half an eye up here in case we want to cut you off and ask a question. If we are going to get to the question we're asking, you can feel free to just say, you know what, I'm getting to that in a slide or two, and we'll be patient. But with that said, welcome. Thanks for being here today. We look forward to your presentation.
Good morning. Thank you, Council President Brent Mullen, Council members. Thank you for having us here this morning. We will be here this morning to present a data review of our analysis of crime rates and investments of St. Paul to comparable cities. So we are the city's business intelligence team. We are part of the Office of Technology and Communications, and I'm Derek Engelking. To my left is Drew Nelson and Jovan Knutson. And so our team exists to provide the city and its residents with tools and analysis so that we can take our city's data and turn it into usable and actionable information. In this way, we can enable effective operational, strategic, and policy decision-making for the entire city. So we received a request from the mayor's office to provide data and analysis around following three research questions in order to inform our policy decision-making around our city's response to violent crime. It's our understanding.
One moment, Ms. Prince.
I have a question before you start. Was the police department involved? Did you reach out to them or Chief Axtell in analyzing or gathering this information?
Council President Renmo and Council Member Prince, we used publicly available data for all of our research. But we did send this presentation to the chief and the assistant chief.
But the police department had no involvement in helping analyze the data.
We used publicly available information, and we'll. So at this point, no.
I mean, it's curious. It's just
Ms.
curious
Prince,
to me.
Ms. Prince, just I think that the comparison is other cities,
right,
as opposed to our city.
Right.
So maybe if they can get a little bit into the data that they're talking about, some of your questions might be answered. If not, we can delve back into it. But I think that it's more about an analysis comparatively as opposed to a deep dive into our own city.
Absolutely. Yep. Thank you. We did receive this request from the mayor's office to provide data and analysis around the following research questions, and it is our understanding that the council also requested data about public safety investments and outcomes through the budget process. So the three questions that guided our research were, how have the rates of violent crime in St. Paul changed over time? How do rates of violent crime in St. Paul compare to peer cities, potentially over time, as well as how has investment in the police department changed over time? And in order to do that, this is what we did. In support of these research questions, we did an initial scan of the literature on violent crime and public safety. We took the data from publicly available sources, like St. Paul's Open Data Portal, the FBI's UCR, or Uniform Crime Reporting Data, and brought it into our business analytics tool that we use here, which is called ClickSense. And so we kind of took two tracks. The first was a simple analysis of macro-level trends in violent crime in St. Paul and looking then at cities of similar sizes. And the second set is based on statistical analysis to find more representative sets of like cities. With that, I will turn it over to my colleague, Drew.
And I think I'll interrupt you and say that one of the challenges I think we always face in St. Paul is trying to find like cities, because we're a capital city, because we're a twin city, because of the way our school board is separated from our city. There's a lot of different pieces at play. So I will be interested to learn which cities you ended up determining are like St. Paul. It's hard to tell sometimes when we're talking about property taxes or other measures. How do we compare to whom?
Absolutely. And Council President Brimon, Drew will actually speak to that right now.
Yeah. What you alluded to there, Council President, was something that has guided our research here. In the macro levels, what we did is select cities that were within the same population bands as us, which is this population band of 250,000 to 500,000 and 250,000 and greater population cities are something that's determined by the FBI and collected in their uniform crime reporting database. So the reason why we just use those is expressly because it's a standard metric that is derived from the federal government. For our actual comparable cities in there, all we were able to do right now is to use cities within that band with higher violent crime rates and lower violent crime rates to compare against. But informing our statistical analysis, which Jovan Knudsen will get into later on, really drives out where we tried to dive into using demographic factors as well as violent crime factors to help identify some of the more like cities in there. The ones that we've selected just for our macro level analysis here, which again is cities that live within this same population band by the FBI or by the same population band, is St. Louis, Missouri and Kansas City, Missouri, Oakland, California, Anchorage, Alaska, and then sister city across the river, Minneapolis. And then ones identified with lower violent crime rates are Chandler, Arizona, Hialeah, Florida, and Irvine, California. And, please go ahead.
Ms. Nanker.
Thank you. So if I'm understanding you correctly, you compared us against like cities and then also identified a representative set of like cities based on better indicators than we otherwise have. Is that right?
Council President Brimon and Council Member Nanker, we didn't so our macro level analysis does not directly compare us against these cities because even in the Uniform Crime Reporting Database, they expressly say that this is not a real effective metric to say we're number 7 and these people are number 2. How do we move to that? What we did is use them as a representation to show the trends that happen in just like-sized cities against what is happening in our city. And then because of that challenge of having that direct comparable city set, we did dive deeper into statistical analysis and began building out indicators that could show what our more comparable city sets would be.
And then once you found those more comparable city sets, did you then compare us to them? Or
we are still in the phase of determining which ones they are based on our demographic characteristics.
Ms. Prince.
Is among the demographic characteristics, did you include poverty, rates of poverty?
Council President Brimon and Council Member Prince, we did, and we will speak to, we represent a sampling of them later on in our presentation that we'll show to it. There are numerous others that we are currently in the process of analyzing as well.
Because it seems to me that over time, when we have looked at things like size of police force, that there are already a set of cities that we compare ourselves against. And a really important factor is poverty rates in terms of the number of officers. But I'm just curious as to why, did you look at previous comparables that the city has used to do this kind of analysis?
Council President Brimo and Council Member Prince, we did not for this set of analysis. We used previous slide, there was sourcing, and we used a report called the Improving Crime Data Project, and that was what helped guide our statistical analysis. A small background on that, what that report is it's something that was commissioned by Department of Justice to help replace or augment the challenges that they saw with the Uniform Crime Reporting data sets, mm-hmm. where they currently have to heavily caveat and say
comparing direct ranking is not an effective way of measuring your city. This is one of the avenues that they went down to try and replace or augment that with something that would help guide cities.
I don't want to get too far ahead of you guys, but one thing I want to say is this is highly unusual for the city to do a statistical analysis of one department without that department being involved at budget time, when if you subjected any of our city departments to this kind of comparable, we might learn a lot of things as well. But I guess I'm not clear on why we're doing this now and how it's being decided to be done with the police department as opposed to Public Works or the Parks Department, where we have huge investments. It's budget time, and are we looking? What are we doing this for right now? And I will also say, I'm interested in what you find out in terms of violent crime. But I think one thing that we're all clear about is our crime statistics have been improving over years, and that what we are engaged in right now is an anomaly. The last several months have been an anomaly. So I'm not sure how any comparison. I mean, I want to give you the opportunity to make your presentation, but I am really trying to figure out what the administration is doing here when, if we subjected any of our other city departments to this kind of analysis, we would probably be expected to make some budget changes.
Ms. Nelson?
You know, I would just say I don't view this as an assessment of one department. I view this as an honest look at our crime trends and how we would take on a multi-pronged approach to do that. So I know police data comes up because that's traditionally one tool law enforcement has, or that our communities have, is law enforcement to deal with what we're dealing with. But this is about getting a clear set of information to grapple with what we need to do across departments to help bring those numbers down. So I'll let the presentation proceed, but I do not view this as one department specific. I think this for me is helpful, because if you just take 12 news stories out of context, it doesn't help. I don't understand how we're supposed to do something about that comprehensively with just that in mind. So,
and we this council agreed that community first public safety and changes in the way that we police was a priority for us this year and last week, or 2 weeks ago, I guess now, at the council, we invited a presentation from the national, now I'm forgetting the name, but the community for safe cities, mm-hmm. To talk about cure violence, group violence intervention. And so I think that as we close in on our budget, we're just gathering as much information as we can to help us make good decisions. Thank you.
Thank you. So starting in on our findings here, again, our first four findings that we're going to review are our macro-level analysis. We'll do a transition to our colleague, or my colleague Johan, for our statistical one. But speaking to what you mentioned there, Councilmember Prince, is that our first finding is showing that since 1990, since peaks in the early 90s, our violent crime rates have trended downwards. There are upticks specifically from 2011 and present, and then we'll get more into that later, but there was also a peak in the early 2000s or middle 2000s, around 2006. The two other data sets that are visible there are those population bands from the FBI's Uniform Crime Reporting Database of a holistic group of all cities of 250,000 and greater, and then a subset of that group of 250,000 to 500,000. And really, this is just attempting to display that as the nation goes, our violent crime rates go with it. The trend lines follow.
Ms. Danker.
Thank you. A technical question. Why the decision to include the 250,000 and over, and then the 250,000 to 499? Obviously, there's overlap there. What does it tell us to go to have that much more vague group?
Council President Bremo and Council Member Nager, you're hitting at it directly. There is a challenge in looking at city sets within just that 250,000 to 500,000, and when we actually expand it up to include the most populous cities as well, it All it really does is add a little bit more context to showing that there are many groups of cities that follow the same trend line. It was, when we look at, if we were to look below that too, the trend lines would hold as well, but we just illustrated that because those are the bands, the two subset bands that we fall within.
Okay.
This is an expansion on the same finding set. So the timeline has been expanded out because of greater data collection that we were able to do in that, coming back from 2004 to 1999. The line that holds with St. Paul is the same that was represented on the previous slide, but it's just more compressed because we bring in those selected cities to compare against, all falling within the 250,000 to 500,000. And again, it's showing that our trends hold with other cities that are in our same population bands, even though some of theirs may be higher or lower than ours. In finding two, the change here is that we are looking specifically at the murder rate. In this context, murder is defined as murder and non-negligent manslaughter. That's the FBI definition. And to wind back briefly, I apologize, I didn't set this up before. Violent crime is a comprehensive metric that includes murder and non-negligent homicide, robbery, rape, and aggravated assault. And those are all FBI-defined characteristics. What this shows is that effectively from, as you can see here, from 2011 up to about 2018, there is a trend upwards in murder rate that holds from our city as well as other cities in that that were selected to show this. They are still below the peak in 2005 for the murder rate, as well as previous and historic data back into the early 90s that are unfortunately not represented here because of data collection.
Ms. Anker.
It's interesting to note here that Oakland looks like a marked outlier, and we've been talking a lot about Oakland Ceasefire Initiative and other violence prevention programs that they implemented. I don't know if that timing of 2012 corresponds to when they implemented that or not, but it does strike me here.
Mm-hmm. Council President Bremo and Council Member Naker, I'm not clear on the implementation of it, but that is one of the reasons why they were included in this set, is because they do show an outlier as a downward trend with that. And on the converse side of that, Anchorage is included here because they show an uptick in the same set, just showing that there is variation within this. Absolutely.
I will say that it's great information. I'm having trouble figuring out which line belongs to which. Could be my eyeballs. But the one that's really clear to me is St. Paul, but the rest of them. Is the top one St. Louis?
Correct, Council President.
Yes.
Okay. And then the blue one below that is Chandler?
That is Kansas City. The three highest ones represented on here, Council President, are St. Louis, then Kansas City, which has an uptick, and Oakland has seen the downward trend.
Okay.
Close to us, the purple line is Minneapolis, and then the line that on 2014 diverges from near ours and moves upwards, that is Anchorage.
I'm sorry, what was that?
From 2014 to 2018, the line that effectively hugs St. Paul's and then moves upwards after that is Anchorage, Alaska.
Ms. Naker.
Thank you. I understand that you selected these cities because they kind of fall within that population band, and you mentioned that you're going to figure out better cities to compare
Absolutely.
Us to later, but of all the cities that fell within that population band, why these cities to compare us to?
Council President Bremo and Council Member Naker, so part of it was for visual representation to show that there were a number that trended along with ours, and there were some outliers, Oakland and Anchorage specifically. Compressing too many of them in there created a very muddled visualization to not clearly show where we stacked up against other cities in there. They also were, these cities, five of them caught within the top 10 most violent crime cities in that population band, and the other three were in the bottom 10 on there. But really beyond that, there was not any more, there was not any greater definition of why we did that, which helped support our statistical analysis to really drive out those better, a better representation of like cities to compare against, or to visualize against, excuse me.
I think it would be helpful just to have on this slide and other slides in the future, until we have those better comparison cities, and even when we do, just an average trend line for that population band, because
absolutely.
It's just, I'm sure there's hundreds of cities in that. Well, maybe not hundreds, but dozens of
dozens,
cities in that
absolutely.
Band, and it would be helpful to see the average.
Absolutely.
Mr. Tao.
Thank you, Council President. Just go to that point where from 2014, Anchorage has an uptick in murder. I'm just curious, like, what are some common denominator that Anchorage was experiencing that we also experience here, but maybe to a different level that has – increase their violent crime?
Council President Bremo and Council Member Tao, that is one of the questions that is helping to drive our greater statistical research. Right now, we do not have an answer for that, and we would like to use this our statistical model to actually gain a better clarity on what some of the demographic indicators that may impact crime are, that are shared between us and cities that trend downward, as well as those that trend upward, to help support strategic decision makers and policy that may do this.
I think it's more to make the case.
This is a so getting at what you had mentioned here, Council Member Naker, this is us against those, that greater trends. Again, the 200, the 250 to 500 subset, and 250 and greater than. We also included the 2019 projected rate based off of current data for St. Paul on the right-hand side there. What we'll call out very specifically is while there is a decrease from the peak in 2006, there is a noted trend increase between 2011 to present, especially from 2014 to present, and that does hold with what is happening in other like-sized cities.
Ms. Naker.
Thank you. Obviously, what we've been seeing in the last few weeks has been tragic and has been really, I think, startling, and I'm wondering that line is startling. Were you able to do that for the like cities? Do we know if that's...
Council President, Council Member Naker, right now, no, because there is not any reported data set from murder and non-negligent manslaughter reports from those individual cities. Once it is reported up to the UCR, however, we will easily be able to incorporate it in and display. Our last finding looks at the budget growth within the city of St. Paul. We specifically looked at fire, parks and rec, police, and the public library system. This shows that there has been an increase in funding in all of these. The percentages are listed out on top, 73% for police from 2004 to 18 or to 2020, excuse me. That's incorrect to say 2018. Fire department at 62%, parks at 79%, and St. Paul Public Library at 33%. These are unadjusted for inflation numbers. The rough inflation from that period of time was about 32%, but we did not factor that in when we displayed this.
Ms. Naker?
Thank you. I find it hard to compare these department increases without having a corollary denominator of staffing. I mean, parks is our biggest staffing department. Police is very close to that. So this is a part that seems a little bit hard to take out of context. It'd be great to see these as, you know, if there's some way to have a denominator of staffing.
Yeah, Council President Bremo and Council Member Naker, absolutely. Thank you for the feedback. All right. If there are no further questions on the macro trend analysis, we're going to transition into our statistical analysis period. The reason why I'm calling this out very starkly is because there is a change in methodology that occurs from our first findings to our next two findings that we will go over, and our colleague Jovan Knutson will walk us through those.
Thank you, Drew. So as Drew is stating, we performed a statistical analysis of crime rates against FBI crime data from 2017 specifically for cities that had populations between 225,000 and 500,000. And that essentially sits St. Paul right in the middle of that band. And based on this analysis, St. Paul falls within the statistically expected outcome for both violent crime and property rape crimes. However, if you actually drill down further into it, you'll see that St. Paul does have statistically higher rates of crime when it comes to rape, burglary, and vehicle theft. However, it's really important to note here that the FBI and researchers warn against simply comparing cities based on crime rates, as there are numerous variables that impact crime in the reporting. So, for example, the majority of rape crimes go unreported, and increases in reported incidents is not necessarily indicative of increased incidents of rape. Also, the majority of motor vehicle thefts tend to occur in colder weather, so warmer climated cities likely do not have that same issue as we do. On the flip side, warmer temperatures do tend to experience higher rates of crime overall. So simply comparing a city is insufficient, as it can lead to simplistic analysis and can create misleading perceptions for those issues that are affecting communities. And so FBI and researchers recommend analyzing the unique conditions affecting cities to get a broader and more holistic view into what's impacting crime overall for a city. And so that takes us to finding six.
Before you move on, Mr. Tolbert had a question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did the numbers that you use, was it based on report date or was it based on incident date?
It was based off of FBI's uniform crime reporting, which I believe is based on incident date.
Correct. Yeah, okay. Council President Brennan, Council Member Tolbert, yes. The FBI collects it based off of incident date predominantly. There are potential variations based on how individual departments can do that, because it is an aggregation of especially municipal police departments. So that date is flexes a little bit, but that is the stated one, is to do it off of incident date.
Is it my understanding, and I could be wrong, is our reports, our crime reports for the police department are on report date, and we've had, we discussed this at a crime meeting with some of the commanders. We've had, especially regarding rape, reports recently for incidents that happened in previous years, as people have felt, have started to come forward on some of these. And so I'd be curious if that skewed the numbers at all, and rather than date that the incident happened, it was just date reported.
Ms. Baker.
Thank you. It's been a really, really long time since I took statistics, so I apologize for the ignorance of this question. But is it accurate to say that there's a difference in how much higher or lower some of these are given the rate compared to the standard deviation? Like, our murder rate is low, but only within a standard deviation of the mean. And our looks like rape, burglary, and vehicle theft are all more than that, more than one standard deviation higher. So I know there are already limitations to this data, but does that strike you as a legitimate conclusion that some of these are higher than others or closer to the mean than others?
Council President Brenmon, and Councilmember Necker, that is an appropriate conclusion, in that the difference between where we fall in comparison to some of these other rates certainly indicates that there is a higher, statistically significantly higher rate of that occurrence.
Mr. Tell.
Thank you. I'm just curious, for like the three city that has lower crime rates than we do, do we know what is their police budget and what is their police to population ratio in comparison to us and to each other?
Council Member President Brenmon and Council Member Tao. I'm sorry, I'm new to to the proceedings here, so I apologize. Into your question regarding comparing cities with for their police population comparative to their crime rate, we didn't include that in our analysis.
can speak to it a little.
Yes, but you.
And so, Council Member Tao, to speak to that a little bit more targetedly, one of the reasons why we did not include specific looks at other departments' budget is because budgets very specifically are widely varied between departments. A brief example is that St. Paul City Parks and Rec budget has a zoo. Not many others do. And like across the river, Minneapolis does not have public libraries in their budget. So there is challenges in raw views at a macro level, looking at just police spending across different agencies. One item that is reported up to the FBI is sworn personnel, and then the sworn personnel per either 10,000 or 100,000 population. We do have that information. We did not include it in this because there is really not any there's not a proven tie between the population of police to crime rate specifically. Like Chandler, for a targeted example, has a very low percentage of police to its population, and that may be because it has lower crime rate, that may be because of budgeting differences. There's just no way for us to be able to drive it out in any succinct manner to report up.
So I appreciate that. I think from my decision making is that whether we are for more police officer or less police officer or to increase the budget, I think it's important for me to see that this is why we don't necessarily need more police officer to create safer community, and then maybe it might be the other way around. I don't know, but I think it'd be very helpful. Because part of, I think, our police budget or public community safety budget is not just about policing, right? It's what other program that we do within that, like the ambassador program. Mm-hmm. And so are we investing enough in that sort of service or program? I think it's important for us to make that argument as for the levy increase and different things like that, to have that set of data for me.
And Council President Redmond and Council Member Tao, on our next slide, when we get into it, we will show some of our more targeted demographic data. And it is intentionally designed to help support policy-level programs that can target some of these potential indicators. Absolutely.
And Ms. Jalali Nelson.
So I know that different data agencies use different categories. So how can we, like, see gun violence in this slide? Is it, like, kind of most proximate to the murder rate? Is it reflected in other categories? Like, how could we understand trying to make sense of our rates of gun violence? Because I know there's a lot of subcategories of gun violence. Does that question make sense?
And Council President Bremo and Council Member Nelson, specifically gun violence could be represented in number of different factors. If we think of gun violence as just a violent crime that occurs with a firearm present, it could be represented in any of those four subsets on there. Assault. It is not specifically broken out by the FBI currently.
Interesting. Okay. Thank you. So that leads us to finding six. So, as I stated, the FBI and researchers have made it a point to encourage cities and municipalities to look at their cities holistically and all of the different variables that go into crime rate data rather than just looking at crime rate data alone. So in order to take a more holistic approach in understanding crime in St. Paul, our team has begun to look at various indicators that research has shown to impact and predict crime. So what you're seeing here are a set of unique characteristics of St. Paul that begin to really paint a picture into what factors are influencing crime. This is really just a sampling of some of the various factors that we've identified, some that we are still working on gathering. But what they include are various demographic data, such as population density and the age of the population. But the other item that research has really had made it a point is also including socioeconomic factors that play a major role in crime. So getting back to what Council Member Tao had mentioned, rates of poverty really are considered a predictive factor in determining crime rates. And as you can see, as far as the city of St. Paul goes, it is statistically similar to cities when it comes to education levels and unemployment rates. However, if you drill further down into this data, you'll see that there's actually a distinct disparity between white and African American populations. And it is these socioeconomic factors that are impacting our crime rates that really offer us an opportunity to examine further for deeper insights into what can be done or where we are at in terms of finding similar cities.
Ms. Jalali Nelson.
Just a comment that we recently received the rating This Week as a State as the fourth worst place for Black Americans to live. And when I look at the categories jumping out, the unemployment disparity between Black and white populations feels very connected to that.
Mr. Tao.
Thank you. So I appreciate these data. I have a little bit of tension with the unemployment disparity, African American and white population. So two things. One is I feel like having that indicator there links African American to crime, and because and we're saying here that because of their unemployment rate, we don't know if that rate, that those crimes are caused by African American or not. But it also leave out other underrepresented community, such as Native American, Latino, Asian American, Koreans. They also experience high unemployment rate. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we should, if we're going to be intentional, I think we should name all those underrepresented community because they all need help. And then it create a better, clear picture that it's not just one race that is linked to crime. So.
Ms. Naker.
Thank you. What did it mean for something to be statistically expected?
Thank you, Council Member, Council President Ramon, and Council Member Necker. Statistically significant meant that it fell within the standard deviation, so it fell with... Statistically expected meant that it fell within the standard deviation and therefore was an expected outcome in terms of where it was, not that it necessarily is a good thing or a bad thing, but that is the result of it compared to other similar sized cities.
Thanks.
Also, just in terms of lifting things off of the sixth finding, we recently had the state demographer come and speak to the council, and once again, she pointed out how our population is young compared to the state, compared to the nation, and I always think of that as an economic advantage for the city of St. Paul, but I hadn't ever thought of it as potentially something that factors into crime rates. So it's interesting to see that it is, I mean, I guess we knew that it was significantly different than other cities, but that is interesting to connect it this way as well. Mm-hmm. Are there other questions on this finding or other parts? Ms. Naker.
Well, since I think we're at the last slide, the thank you slide comes after this. I'm curious, what does this mean? What can we take? It's very useful information, and I'm really grateful to you for doing the work. I'm just trying to figure out is there any lesson learned in a qualitative sense that we can take from this data, any information we can glean from it, or is it no, not yet, because we need to find these better cities to compare ourselves to, and in the meantime, this is all we have?
I got this one. So, yeah, Council President Bremmo and Council Member Naker, that your second half of that point there gets at exactly what that is. This is beyond the six that we've identified here, there are several dozen other indicators that we could do this statistical analysis on. We, from our data side, are not in any way capable of recommending policy or directing on that. What we can do is point to the indicators that identify that within this context identify potential crime and can support with data and in a way that we can also collect and gauge efficacy later on policies on that side. But we're not equipped to do any qualitative recommendations on anything like that.
But if you, not recommendation-wise, but if you were to sum up sort of the high-level sentence or two that summarized this data as information for us to take away, what would it be?
So thank you, Council President Ben Mohn and Council President Necker. Got it right this time.
You're getting there.
I'm going to get it. But I would say specifically in regards to the overall work that we've done so far, and that is that what is being experienced in the city of St. Paul is not unique to the city of St. Paul. However, there are unique factors that make up the city of St. Paul, and we can't simply reduce what makes up St. Paul down into basic crime rates and compare it to like cities. What we need to do is look at the city as a whole and the various factors that go into making up our city and make up what goes into impacting crime rates and how we can focus our energies into not only making our crime rate reduced, but also making just livability in the city overall. So going back to taking this data and making further identifications in terms of what other data exists out there is going to be another huge step in helping us identify where does the city of St. Paul fall below or above the curve, for instance, and will hopefully provide you with a better understanding of where we may need to go with policy and decision making.
Ms. Brunson.
I appreciate the work that you have done, and I would urge you, as you continue this work, to sit down with the statisticians at the police department and just check out their methodology to inform yours. We have probably the most innovative and effective police departments in the state, and I think that it would make me feel a lot better if this were done in concert with our department rather than separately. So, you know, whether or not you work together going forward, I just think it would be good to check out their methodology, spend some time with them, and then go from there.
Ms. Dinker.
Thank you. I would never want something to be done behind a department's back or sort of adversely to a department, but I will say I somewhat disagree with my colleague, Councilmember Prince, on that, and that I actually really appreciate the independence of this analysis from a department. I was actually going to ask if even it's too close by being within the administration and within the city that we're doing this analysis as opposed to outside of the city. Mm-hmm. But I would be more concerned the closer the collaboration becomes with the department, because then I worry that it is becoming influenced by that department. I appreciate the objectivity of the data.
Mr. Tao?
To that point, I think that both my colleagues are correct, but I think that the involvement with the police department could come later when we have identified more of the in-depth data set, because at that point we would have independently figure out what those data sets are and help us as a council and the police. I think the police would be appreciative of those data sets as well. Clearly, this presentation, even though it's hard for us to have gun violence in our city because it destabilizes our sense of peace of mind. It has an impact on our economic prosperity and the progress that we've been making in this city in terms of increasing our tax revenue. But it seemed like there's still a lot of work left to do. And so I think the rest of the council may feel the same way. We need to continue to have this dialogue. And I'd love to see what kind of data set you are going after in writing so that we can help, because we want to make this a very successful research to help us to educate the public, our constituent, that, yes, we are having gun violence and we are having crimes, increase in it, but we are taking a proactive approach. And this is where we are set, and this is where we are in all American city, our size, but that's not our goal, right? Our goal is not to determine where we are, but our goal is to figure out how we can get to a place where our public safety is around our economic strategy, our community safety, our education. All of those are interwoven, and so this work is very important in that direction.
Thank you. Council President Bremo and Council Member Tao, one of a point that you touched on about the public availability is one thing that informed our collection on this to make sure that everything that we presented and collected in here was available for release outside of our agent or outside of our city and is already existing data set that we were just all we were doing is collecting it and displaying it, not managing the data set in any capacity so that it can all go outbound and be visible by the public.
And maybe this can just fill in a little bit of context. I appreciate all of that feedback and what's our next steps commentary. I don't know about my colleagues, but I did not know that the City of St. Paul had a business intelligence team. And so to understand that we have a department or a group that's working within a department that is providing departments with these analytic tools to make better decisions is great. And it is very typical or not uncommon for us to invite people like you in to get updates on what you're working on. I mentioned we invited the state demographer, the International Center, the Met Council, the Workforce Board. We're constantly inviting in folks that are looking at things differently, doing things differently, analyzing things differently to help better inform the decisions that we're making. So I really appreciate this information a lot. And as I mentioned, public safety is a huge priority to this council. It's a priority to everybody in the city. And we want to know as much as we can all the time so that we're making the best decisions possible as we go into our budgeting or our policy sessions for next year. And I do think that there is some value in having some independent analysis done of our departments, and it looks like you look at other departments as well, so that's good to know. But we have, even in the time that I've been here, I've seen a significant shift to decision-making that's really based on data. The pavement condition index for our streets helps decide how we're going to move forward with prioritizing projects. So for us to understand where we have pain points and where we need to make adjustments is crucial. So I really do appreciate this information, and I also appreciate the fact that you came in before you're really done with your analysis. We don't have a whole lot of weeks left in our calendar year, and so I appreciate the fact that there's a lot of things that you're like to be determined, still working on, and so I appreciate your willingness to come and share where you're at today with us, even though there's more work that you still have to do, because it helps bring us along. And as you can see, we have questions, and we'll want to know more. I think we'll want to be collaborative with our other departments, and we'll also want to continue to push ourselves as we continue down this path. But I think that knowing that you're here, knowing that you're doing this work, and knowing the level of professionalism that you're putting on this is really important, and I think it's valuable for all of us to see that. So I appreciate it. Any other thoughts here? Okay. Well, thank you so much for your presentation. Do you have closing things on your end?
Yeah, I mean, just as a follow-up. As you mentioned, Council President Brenmoen, we are still kind of in our initial phase with this. So over the next few weeks, we are going to continue this effort. We're going to continue our statistical analysis of those population characteristics so that we can kind of see how St. Paul comes out and whether we're statistically different across those like cities. And then we're also going to continue looking at the investments that we make across the cities and across within our city and across like cities so that we can provide more information.
All right. We'll expect to have us knocking on your door and asking for more information early and often. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
All right. So we are done with this section. Holly, do you want to give us an update on what's in front of us in terms of org committee and budget?
Yeah.
Timeline.
Council President Brenmoen, council members, we did adjust the schedule slightly, and so next week before you will be the Office of Financial Services presenting the STAR budget, and the River Center Visitors, St. Paul Visitors Authority presenting their budget. I will be sending out information on the water budget, and if you have any questions, you can contact me, and I can follow up with Mr. Schneider. And then the CIA.
Sorry to interrupt you, but we have three council members serve on the Water Utility Board. And so three of us sit through the budget process, which it happens often, doesn't it? It's like five times during the year. But I think it's like the pre-budget meeting. So we moved water to make way for some other presentations. So if people do want more information on water, we laid over the water budget last week on the agenda. But if anyone wants more information, we did make that adjustment. It's a deviation from what we've done in the past, but I think that was the one thing that we felt we had some comfort with and some flexibility. But there is, as Holly mentioned, if people want more information on the water budget, Steve is happy to do a one-on-one with council members.
And then the capital improvement budget was also moved from today's date, and so I can set up briefings with each of you to go over that and send out the information. And then the week of Thanksgiving, we're not meeting, and then December 4th, we have the city attorney's office coming and giving their budget presentation, and also I think a bit of a follow-up on the immigration services program that they're working on, and then we have time to discuss any final changes. December 4th that evening is the TNT at 6 p.m., and then the following week we'll be adopting the budget.
Right, and TNT, of course, is the acronym for Truth and Taxation, which it's interesting that it's also TNT. So that's the night of the 4th, and then we set the final budget on December 11th.
Correct.
Okay. Are there any questions for Holly? Okay. Well, if there's nothing else to come before us, then we are adjourned.